This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenn the Geek on the ball from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 9th, 2010. It's episode 7, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World, and good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie, and good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here today. I am in a good mood. I said I'm on the ball. I actually posted a picture on our Facebook page of me on the ball to prove that I'm not just cracking jokes here. I really do sit on the ball. So that's over on Facebook at Horses in the Morning, in case anybody wants proof that I actually do sit on a ball.
Yeah, he actually does sit on a giant, like, yoga ball to balance. I don't. I just have a regular chair. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I do have a dog laying on the bed right next to me. So she's right at my feet, and every once in a while you may hear her bark. Who knows?
You have a cozy, sounds like you have a cozy recording studio in your house over there in Arizona.
I do. Well, we make it cozy. We try anyway. Of course, you know, because it is so early for me, I am cozy in my pajamas while recording this show on a daily basis. So, you know, theater of the mind, I could say I'm in my boots and breeches or, you know, my cowboy hat. No, I'm in my pajamas. Sorry.
So Jamie, there's a secret out. Jamie records in her pajamas every morning. She has her Mickey Mouse pajamas and her Tweety Bird slippers, and there she is.
Yep. Well, Glenn, we actually have a pretty cool show today because I think that our show today is going to be educational for me, not so much for you because I, you know, you did the World Equestrian Games and you got to kind of talk to all these people, but I'm not that familiar with the Western world. And I know we have some Western riders. Jennifer's going to tell you about in a minute, but to kind of get in the mood for today's show, guess what I did yesterday?
Okay, what'd you do yesterday?
I went and rode a friend's roping horse.
Really?
Real honest to goodness roping horse. Like the kind that, first of all, it's like 20. So I thought I was going to be pretty safe, you know, like, okay, this thing is, you know, on its last legs. It's been working hard its whole entire life. It's 20 years old. We get it out of the stall, bring it, you know, tie it to the wall. It just stands there. He didn't move a muscle when getting tacked up. He didn't move a muscle when he was getting, you know, his feet picked or getting his bridle put on. Nothing. So they're like, would you like us to lunge him first? Well, I've been watching this horse stand there for 10 minutes, and he hasn't moved a muscle. I'm like, I think I'll be okay. He's a 20-year-old, you know, roping horse. I was so wrong. Oh, my gosh, Glenn. Have you ridden a roping horse before?
No, but I do know the rule. If they say, would you like to lunge him first, that you good idea to lunge him first.
Yeah, lesson learned. Oh, my gosh. That was the fastest horse I have ever ridden. It was unbelievably impressive. I mean, I took him in the arena. I was like, oh, poor little sweet old man. I threw a leg over that sucker, and he was off. I mean, it was crazy. This horse was, like, ready to go. I mean, I held him, and the second I let go an inch of those reins, you know, and they're like that little rope rein that goes around, not like my big, long English reins that are
Were attached. You in a Western saddle?
Oh, yeah, I was in a rope and saddle, rope and bridle, rope and horse, no rope. So it was definitely an education. Don't, you know, a 20-year-old roping horse has still got plenty of gas. Let me just tell you that. But it was really cool and a really cool experience to take the eventer and put them on a roping horse. It was really cool.
Now, and we have to clarify, too, for everybody that doesn't know, you're about 5'2", so the saddle probably weighs more than you do.
Oh, I couldn't put it on. I didn't pack the horse up. No way. That was the heaviest saddle. I had to carry it from the car over to where we tacked the horse up, and I thought I was going to die. It was so heavy. So
Western saddle's for you, huh?
Oh, no. I mean, I have a Western saddle to trail ride in, but it's one of those neoprene, you know, super lightweight, wimpy synthetic saddles. I love it. But, yeah, it's not heavy. But that kind of brings us to what we're gonna talk about today. So Jennifer, the producer, is going to come on. And, Jennifer, what are we doing today?
On today's show, I feel like the guy on The Price is Right.
Wait a minute. We can't let her start. I do not want Jamie's mother mad at me.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to clarify that Jennifer is my lovely, sweet wife, and we work in the same place, although in separate ends of the building, because she will not sit in an office with me.
No.
But
good
so for your mother's benefit, hi, Mom. Jennifer is my wife.
Jennifer Glenn's wife, the producer, what's coming up on today's show?
You guys are mean. Just doing that to make me crack up. Today's show, it is lots of things Western today. The double gold medalist from the 2010 World Equestrian Games in Reining, Tom McCutcheon, is going to be with us. And he's always a lot of fun, a great guy. And we'll be talking about WEG and other things. I think we might have some really fun, interesting surprises to ask him. If I remember right there, Jamie, and also reigning Miss Rodeo USA, Dakota Misseldine, who is just a really lovely gal, smart, articulate rider, and looks really cool in a tiara with a cowboy hat with a tiara on top.
That's right.
So she's going to be joining us this morning, too, and all kinds of great stuff going to happen.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Hey, I wanted to say that I met Dakota. By the way, isn't that a fantastic name for the Miss US, Rodeo USA, Dakota? I mean,
Dakota Misseldine. I mean, that is I think I read she's from Alabama, so that's just about perfect. Dakota Misseldine going to come up Miss Rodeo USA. Now, I am curious to see if my Southern accent kicks in a major way when I'm talking to her. Because it usually happens.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know something? When somebody with a Southern accent says Dakota, it sounds much better than when one of us Yankees says it.
True.
Well,
that is true.
You'll hear my dad call in one day, and you want to talk about – I'm like, Daddy, hey, how you doing? Like, I don't know. I just slip right back into the Southern world when I talk to my daddy. So we'll see if it happens.
I can't even picture you with a full-time Southern accent. I just can't even picture it.
It's been lots of therapy, Glenn. Years and years.
Well, I wanted to tell the listeners that if they want to see a picture of Miss Rodeo USA, I posted it on our Facebook page this morning. It's right there at Horses in the Morning. Just do a search on Facebook. And she and I got to meet over at the World Equestrian Games. Of course, pretty girl, camera, I'm going to get a picture with her. So that's a requirement. Well, in that theme of Western and riding and the places that we ride, you know, Tom McCutcheon got to ride in one of the coolest arenas now in the United States here at the Kentucky Horse Park for the World Equestrian Games. It led us to our theme today, and I do have the music today, so this is the music to lead us into our theme for our call-in segment. Here we go.
The very first word that I ever said, visions of galloping in my head, mane slow and tails held high, I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride like a bird. Born to ride, born to ride.
Marianne Kennedy and Born to Ride. Thank you, Marianne, for letting us use that this morning. We appreciate it. So does that give you, does that get you in the mood for what we're going to talk about today, Jamie?
Oh, it sure does. That was a great song, Marianne Kennedy. And what we want to talk about today is, you know, there's so many people and so many places that you can ride a horse in this entire world. And I know, like, if we had Darcy on from Equitrekking, she'd have some ridiculous, like, oh, I was in the Andes Mountains, and she'd have some really
cool
stories.
She'd have a dozen of them.
Yeah, she certainly would. But we want to talk to you. We want to find out the coolest place that you have ever ridden. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be anywhere. Some place that you, when you think about the coolest ride that you have ever had on a horse, and it kind of takes you right back to that one specific place. We want to hear about it. Our phone number, of course, and you can call throughout the show, is 347-637-3238. Now, Glenn, we have a pretty awesome prize, speaking of riding, to give away to a caller that calls in today.
Yeah, we do. You're going to want to call in today. We have a pair of Power Stretch full seat breeches, compliments of Carrots, and they're worth $110. We want to thank Carrie and everybody over at Carrots for donating those. You can find more about them at carrots.com. And, of course, everybody knows the Carrots products. Carrie has been doing those products over at Carrots for a long time. They're very, very popular. And we're going to pick one lucky winner that calls in today to win a pair of Power Stretch full seat breeches from Carrots. They're definitely worth it. And I'll tell you how comfortable they are. Kathleen from Kathleen's Wild Ride, that's the girl that we're following that's riding across the country, who's now approaching New Jersey, I think, in Pennsylvania, about to end her 5-6 month stint here with her horses, had received her clothes, compliments of Carrots, and she's been riding in the Power Stretch full seat breeches. So if they're comfortable enough to ride across the country, I would say they're comfortable enough for anybody. So give us a call, and we would like to hear from you about the coolest place you've ever ridden. I want to tell you about mine then, Jamie, because I have some fun ones too, and I know you do as well. But also, every caller today is going to be entered into our monthly contest.
Yeah, a $500 holiday shopping spree from Equestrian Collections. I mean, $500 to spend at EquestrianCollections.com. Come on, that's awesome. All you have to do is call in and tell us the coolest place you've ever ridden. You'll get entered in that. And also, another prize for a caller of the month is your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600. And thanks to World Equestrian Brands for giving us that. So, Glenn, what is the coolest place? Where is the coolest place you have ever ridden?
Well, actually, it's not ridden, it's driven, as listeners to the Horse Radio Network know that I'm more of a driver than I am a rider. And we used to have the best driving pony ever. You know, yesterday we talked about that once-in-a-lifetime horse with Uncle Jimmy. Well, I had the once-in-a-lifetime pony. Her name was Piper, and she was the best driving pony in the history of driving ponies. She would go anywhere on any road, do anything. She wasn't scared of tractor-trailer trucks, of cars, of motorcycles, didn't matter. The only thing she was scared of was cows. She would freak out at cows if they ran toward her in the field. But cars, trucks, didn't matter. So we belonged to something, and when we lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, we belonged to something called the Red Rose Driving Club. And it was a really cool driving club. I don't think it's in existence anymore. And it had about 40, 50 members, and we all used to bring out our rigs. And some of these people had rigs. They would drive pairs. You're going to love this, Jamie. Every drive we did, and they drove every Saturday or Sunday afternoon all summer long, they would drive in a different location. And it was that organized that we actually had police escorts to get us through intersections. We'd go through the middle of towns and cities, and people knew the day we were coming out to their area, and they would come out in their porches and sit and watch. It was coolest thing. They would come out in the front yards and wave, because there'd be 30, 40 rigs, you know, carriages and horses. And it was led by a six-in-hand team of little tiny ponies pulling a wagon with a calliope. And a calliope would play the entire time. And, of course, a calliope is something that you've heard at circuses. It's sort of that music, extra-large music box that they have on wagons. And the calliope would play to lead us, and we would all be lined up, all 40 of us, lined up in a row with you know, one in hands, two in hands. You know, we actually had one guy who did a tandem once, you know, one in front of another. It was just a sight to see because it was so many different carriages. Well, we would go to some interesting places, and the most interesting place and exciting place that we went was to Philadelphia. And there's a linear park there. You know what I mean by a linear park?
Okay,
it's an extra long, narrow park. It's like miles and miles and miles long, but it may in some places be 100 feet wide.
Oh, wow.
And there's usually a path or a road or walking trails, things like that. Well, this had a dirt road that went the whole way through it, and this thing was miles and miles long. Well, they had this drive every year at the linear park because it was kind of fun. It was a park. It was very long, and in some places it was pretty flat and stuff, and you could just let the horses go. We would be – oh, the thing about this was, though, you had to park at this school that was across the street from the entrance in the middle of the city. So you parked at the school parking lot, and you had to drive your carriage through these intersections in the city to get to the entrance of the park. And that's how it started. So we would came out this hot. We were kind of scared to death because we didn't know what our pony would do. And sure enough, he was great. She just drove us out. We went to the left-hand turn at a major stoplight intersection in the middle of the city, and we sat there at the stoplight, and then she took off, and we went down the road in the city a little bit to get to the entrance of the park. Didn't make a wrong – how many horses will do that, you know? And then it was so much fun during the drive because there was another guy who had a pony that was exactly the same size in the Meadowbrook cart like we drove. We had an Amish-made Meadowbrook cart. And at one point in the drive, he came up beside us, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. And being that ours was an ex-racing pony, his was too. And we looked at each other, and that was it. We were off. We had a blast racing down the middle of a park in Philadelphia.
Right, though, Glenn, he blew our doors off.
Yeah, he did. He kind of whooped us.
Piper was a little slower, huh?
Well, she was about twice his age.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have one more. We have time, I think, here, and then I want to hear yours. I have one more. We rode one of these drives was at a small amusement park in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And the drive actually took us through the roads in the amusement park. They didn't stop the rides. So the carriage wheels were going, the roller coasters were going, and here we are driving our little pony through the middle of an amusement park. And again, she didn't make a wrong step. So that was fun, too.
That's phenomenal. No, not many horses would do that. I have three stories, but I'm going to tell you one right now, and then we'll get to Jackie, who's on the phone. She wants to tell about her best ride ever. The easy one for me, the first initial one, is, I spent an entire year preparing and trying to qualify for the AECs, which is the American Eventing Championships. And my horse and I did it, and we got to travel. I was fortunately on the East Coast that year. So my horse and I went to the American Eventing Championships. And to be able to ride among, you know, Karen O'Connor, not that we were competing at all. I was in the lower levels. But, to be able to ride at the same place, you're walking around, you've got your horse, and there's Denny Emerson, and there's Karen O'Connor, and there's Philip Dutton. And to be able to kind of warm up in the same arena with those kind of people makes the AECs what it is. And the fact that I spent a whole year preparing and competing and, you know, just getting ready for it, spending every dime I own to travel to competitions, to be able to ride at the AECs was awesome. Now, granted, I finished like 25th out of like 75. So, it was fun. It was exciting, but it was just an honor to be able to ride there. So let's talk
that's
to terrific. Jackie.
That sounds like, you know, and I think that people do have those stories, and we want to hear wherever it was, whether it was in an arena or whether it was on the neatest trail ride in the world, or maybe, you know, the other thing I just thought of while you were talking, it is that maybe it's who you rode with that made it so cool. And we just want to hear about the cool thing. So let's get Jackie on here. Hi, Jackie, you're on the air. So what was your coolest place?
My coolest place was a 4th of July celebration. I'm from a really, really tiny town in Pennsylvania, but they have a huge 4th of July fireworks thing that gets over 10,000 people, and it's set at a big lake at the college with this giant hill, and everybody sits on the hill, and they shoot the fireworks off the side. So one year, they invited people from my barn to carry the flag for part of the celebration, and so we went out, and we got to gallop around the lake carrying the American flag while they played the Star Spangled Banner. But as we're parked out on the far side of the lake waiting to start, the River City Brass Band out of Pittsburgh is playing the 1812 Overture. And as they get literally started shooting off howitzers in our direction.
Oh, no.
Where we're sitting on the horses. They kind of jumped and spun around a little bit, but amazingly handled it pretty well. And we all stayed on, and a couple minutes later, we took off for our gallop, and it was just so cool, you know, galloping those horses as fast as we could around the lake on the 4th of July with this great big audience. And the horses were very good, and we had a blast, and it went really well, despite the howl.
I imagine that. What was your first thought when you heard the cannons going off?
What the heck is that? Same kind of thing I'm sure the horses were thinking. They're thinking, get me out of here. We're thinking, don't drop me on the ground.
Yeah, get me out of here. Let's do it together, please. So one of us doesn't separate.
Yeah, it was fun, though. We had the horses all decorated. I braided my mare up with, you know, red and blue ribbons, and we'd stuck flags on the saddle pads, and it was a really good time.
Oh, that's really
that
cool.
Like fun.
It was.
Well, that's
was
great. Well, we appreciate you calling in and letting us know that your most fun time was riding in cannon fire.
Yes. Dangerous,
that's
but
great.
Hey,
well,
you'll be ready
so
for the Civil War reenactor soon, Jackie.
There you go. We actually do have a big group in my area that does that.
Well, you're ready. Your horse is bomb-proof,
up.
Literally.
Yes.
Thanks, Jackie.
She was. Thanks.
So, Glenn, my horses would lose their mind in cannon fire. So congratulations to Jackie for staying on during that. We want to take your calls, 347-637-3238. What is the coolest place you've ever ridden? And my second place, completely different from riding at the AECs, Glenn, is I got to ride in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I mentioned it's one of my favorite places on the earth. And my friend Stephanie and I were out trail riding. We were having a great time. And we came across a herd of wild elk. And it's kind of on the ranch's grazing land. So we got to go kind of chase into the middle of the herd and to gallop through a field in Wyoming at the base of the Teton Mountains chasing elk is about the most thrilling thing that you could possibly do. So that was pretty neat to be able to have that experience. And again, Western on a quarter horse galloping around. So that was probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever ridden. And then it's phenomenal. I recommend trying to
like
Ranch. That's
the kind of story Darley would have. That's a Darley story right there.
You know, it was just phenomenal. And like I said, it's one of the only ranches in the Teton National Park. So Triangle X Ranch is the coolest place to go ride. And the third place that I would say would be, it's really cool to ride in my backyard. You know, I've never had my own farm and got married and moved into one. And to be able to just walk outside and ride your horses, there's nothing better than that in the world.
Oh, that's sweet. You're getting all gushy on me here today.
I'm kind of emotional today. Whatever.
Sitting there in your pajamas, thinking about going for a ride later on something that isn't a roping horse.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, I'm sure everybody has a lot of stories, and we do want to hear them. We have a couple of great guests coming up today. And it looks like we're getting one of them on the line here soon, and we want to talk to him. He's going to be up here shortly. He's one of the winningest reiners of all times with millions in earnings. His wins include NRBC Open Championship, two National Reining Horse Association Derby Reserve Championships, the Traditional Open for Charity, the SWRHA Open for Charity, and he's a many-time finalist at every major NRHA event, and he now adds to his collection an individual and team gold medal from the 2010 World Equestrian Games.
Wow.
Tom McCutcheon riding Gunner's Special Night. And I think we have Tom up here. Tom, you're on the air. Are you there?
I'm here.
How
good
morning. Are you doing, Tom? It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good morning to you guys.
Tom, we spoke a while back before the World Equestrian Games. We were the ones that you spoke to that did the World Equestrian Games radio show. And you were on with Tim. We had you and Tim on the same show. And we spoke about the World Equestrian Games ahead of time. And now we get to speak to you after. I saw every one of your rides at the Kentucky Horse Park during the games. What a special time that was for you and for the whole United States team.
Oh, you know, absolutely. That's going to be, for sure, that's the most memorable horse show that I've ever been to, and something we'll remember for a long, long time. It was just an amazing event with all the media and all the people and all. I mean, it was something I'll, probably never be able to duplicate just because it was here in the States and, a lot of friends there, and just a great, great experience.
You know, one of the neat things, Tom, that happened, I think, at the World Equestrian Games this year, that it was here in Kentucky, 4 miles from where I live and where I'm recording from this morning. But one of the cool things was I talked to a lot of people that were in that audience who had never seen reining before. This was the first time they were watching reining. I think it educated a lot of people to how cool a sport reining is.
Yeah, I mean, and we've heard that a lot. You know, I've had a lot of people just after our coverage on NBC and stuff, a lot of people that know me outside the horse world, call me and say, wow, that was awesome. I've never seen anything like that. And had a couple of my friends come and take riding lessons and the whole deal. So, yeah, I think it's a great sport. And, those are really great horses to ride and a lot of fun. And I think there's a lot of people starting to get interested in it. I think that whole thing was more than we ever could have imagined for the reining horse industry.
You know, and before we get to your horse, which I do want to talk about, Gunner Special Night, I want to talk about, you call him Gunner. Is that his bar name?
I call him Bailey. His bar name is Bailey.
Okay.
His daddy's name is Gunner, and a lot of people just call him Gunner, but we call him Bailey in our barn.
All right.
Now,
I want to ask you about Bailey, but at first I wanted to ask you real quick, before we get to Bailey, I wanted to ask you how cool it was to be on the winning a gold medal team with your father-in-law, Tim McKay.
It was a great experience. We show at a lot of horse shows at the same time, but there's nothing about our businesses that are intertwined other than obviously my wife. So it was a lot of fun to be in that situation where you're a teammate and you kind of you're responsible for each other, and what you do impacts the result and how they do. And to really have that experience for my wife was
aww,
amazing. I mean, she was she got a lot of excitement out of that deal, I guarantee you.
Now, is she a reiner as well?
She is. She's a non-professional, and she's won over $1 million also. She's the only non-pro to win over $1 million, and she's the all-time winningest non-pro. So she's certainly
wow,
knows what we're going through. Yeah, walking in the ring and getting ready. And she's a tremendous help to the whole situation, because you're so much pressure in that situation. And it really helps to be able to hang out with somebody that understands that
mm-hmm,
pressure and knows what you're talking about when you're talking about getting them ready and whatnot. So, yeah, having her around.
Tom, you can't hold that over her head either. You can't say, oh, I won more than you. I mean, that sort of takes that away in the kitchen, doesn't it?
Well, no, I can't say that because I haven't.
Oh.
One more ideas there.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I have a question, Tom. The horses that you guys ride are so finished. I mean, so unbelievably trained to the slightest change in your seat, the slightest change in your hand position. How long does it take, like the horse that you rode in the Wegs, how long does it take from start to finish to get him where he was?
Well, you know, he's 6 years old, and we start these horses as two-year-olds. We start them in January of their two-year-old year. So, you know, he's had a lot of training, but the requirement, you know, they're ready to – we show them – we have a big horse show. Our Futurity is coming up in December, and they're and that's in their three-year-old year. And they're doing – I mean, they're doing a lot. They're doing – They're broke. I mean, they're ready to go horse show and show at a high, high level. So, you know, roughly 2 years, a little less. It's just that the requirement, you know, the requirement for the Weg Games is they have to be six. So that's just what, you know, what we all showed. They can't be younger than that. But they're ready to go rock and roll in 2 years. You know, the good ones, some of them it takes them a little longer, but the good ones are ready to go in 2 years.
Well, let's talk about that. I know that Gunner Special Knight was a horse that wasn't yours from the beginning. You picked up Gunner not too long ago. Am I right about that?
Yep, we got him in April. And, you know, I had a couple other horses for this for the same owner. I won the test event out there last year on a mare that she owns, Sarah Williman, in Turnabout Farm. She's just been a phenomenal owner. We were the reserve, actually, the alternate on the Aachen team in 06. So, and Sarah has had horses on the on other Weg teams, jumpers on other Weg teams, and she's, you know, she's been to the Olympics. So she's got a tremendous amount of experience in the international game. And I've seen this horse for a long time. I've seen him at the horse shows. I've been around him. And when we got the opportunity to go ahead and buy him, I asked Sarah if she had an interest, and the great owner that she is, it took her about 2 seconds to say, let's do it. So that's how we ended up with him. And Marcy Vermeer had him, and she did an awesome job getting him horse trained. We just, you know, a few minor adjustments, and that's all it took. He's just such a good horse. He was real easy to switch over.
Now, did I hear that he's retiring now?
He is, as far as he knows, he's retiring. Yeah, you know, it looks like we're going to breed 100-plus mares to him this year. That was really good for his career as in the breeding shed. But, you know, there's a chance if there's a lot of talk about, you know, Mr. Lyons has talked about putting on with Alltech another major reining event. And if something like that happens, we might bring him out. We're thinking right now about just keeping him, you know, keeping him galloped. I have right now my 10-year-old son comes out and rides him after school every day. So we're kind of keeping him legged up and maybe bring him back for Normandy. I think that would be a lot of fun to come back. You know, he'd be 10 years old, which, you know, 15, 20 years ago, 10 years old was old for a reining horse. But with all the new international competitions, we're seeing more and more older horses show up there, and he's just fresh as can be and ready to go. So Normandy might be on the schedule.
And, you know, you just said something, too, that caught my ear because I hadn't heard that before, and that's about Dr. Lyons maybe looking at doing a big event here. That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some talk about that. You know, I've had a personal conversation with him about that. So, I don't know where that's going to end up or where that's going to go, but I sure know they're interested. So that would be a lot of fun for everybody.
And not a bad job for old Bailey, 100 mares a year until he gets to go back to the Weg again. That's not too bad a gig.
No, and I whispered that in his ear right before that finals run. So, yeah, really
great. Dude, you're going to want to get a gold medal, I swear. Just do it. Trust me. That's great. Well, you mentioned the fact that, you know, he won the gold medal. 10 is old for a Rainer. You have about one of the coolest and most up-to-date rehab facilities around. I mean, you've got the swimming, you've got everything that you can do to keep a horse sound. You have right there at your fingertips.
Yeah, and that was a huge advantage, I think, for us in between our qualifier and the actual horse show. You know, we had in the actual WEG games, we had a couple months in there, and he was really good at the qualifier. I didn't feel like I needed to do a lot of horse training on him, so we let him swim every day, and that's how we kept him fit and kept him in shape. Yeah, and he came back so mentally refreshed and strong just from that swimming. And, you know, we swim horses, we rehab horses from all over the world. You know, it's just been a great deal for us, and people send us horses from everywhere to rehab them here. And, you know, we're so lucky right here. You know, there's a lot of other parts of the country that aren't as fortunate as we are. We have 3 or 4 of the top vets in the entire world within 30 minutes of us. So, in correlation with those vets, we get a lot of horses here to rehab and just to get fit. You know, a lot of show horses, there's nothing wrong with them. People just want them fit, and they know that we have some really good people overlooking that situation. So, yeah, it's been good.
We're here on Horses in the Morning with Tom McCutcheon, who is the double gold medal winner at the World Equestrian Games in Reining, who I had the absolute pleasure to watch every one of your rides, sitting right there at the press box right at the end. So I was thrilled to be doing that. I wanted to ask you, we have a topic we're talking about today, and I think I'm going to know your answer, but maybe not. The topic we're asking callers to call in about today is, where is the coolest place you've ever ridden? So is it the WEG?
The coolest place, yeah, I would say right now because of the situation and the games. And, you know, like I say, that's going to be a memory that I'm never going to forget. And, you know, I went to the first games in 2002, and, you know, the situation was a little bit different for me there. And I don't, you know, I just didn't take it all in as much as I took this one in. And, you know, it's not that I'm a lot older, you know, and not that I was a kid when I went there. You know, that was only 8 years ago. But, you know, having my own kids and just, you know, the things that have happened in the last 8 years in our industry and in our own personal business, you know, you really take in, as you learn to take it all in. And we did take it all in, and we took a lot of videos and a lot of pictures. So, yeah, that was definitely cool for us. But I've really been lucky to show, you know, I've showed in Italy, I've shown in, you know, Spain, and we've really shown in some super cool places. We had a big horse show in a bullfighting ring in Mallorca, and we've had the opportunity to go around and do some really neat stuff.
Now, Tom, before we let you go, we like to ask our gold medal winning riders just a couple silly, fun questions before we let you go. So I would like for you to imagine that you're sitting on a deserted island and you can only have one horse with you. Who is it?
That's not a hard question right now. Bailey, Gunner Special Knight would be that horse right now.
Okay, you can have one horse book with you to read over and over. What horse book would you have?
That's a tough one because I'm not I'm just not a big reader, but I would say that's a tough one. I can't answer that one because I don't know, you know.
You can say pass, but it didn't say you had one horse movie.
One horse movie. Well, you know, Secretariat's fresh on my mind. So I just saw that one and liked it. And I guess of the horse books, you know, I remember as a kid, and I still remember the book and the story, reading The Ponies of Chincoteague. And that was a pretty cool book when I was a kid and had a big, I mean, I remember that stuck with me for a long time. So maybe that'd be the book. And then, I guess Secretariat, because that's what's freshest in my mind.
And then finally, we'll let you go. You get to take one celebrity with you. You're on the island with her or him. Who is it?
My wife.
Okay, good.
There you go. That's
smart
that,
man.
That redeems from earlier.
Yeah, Tom is a smart man.
Tom, thank you very much for being on with us. We really appreciate you joining us. We hope to have you back again soon sometime. And I have to tell Jamie that I saw one of the most special memories that I have, Tom, of the World Equestrian Games was watching Edward ride in the dressage, watching Edward Gal ride in the dressage. And who was standing beside me in that arena to watch Edward ride was you, was your father-in-law, Tim McKay, was Sean Flaherty, and Craig Schmersal were standing right beside me, had come over to watch the dressage and had come over to watch. Teammate, also, you came over to watch. So it was a pleasure to see you guys enjoying the other sports as well.
Yeah, no, we always try and get around when we go to those games. You know, we have such a tremendous amount of respect for all the other horse trainers and all the other disciplines. And, you know, anytime we get a chance and we get a little, they keep us pretty busy there with media and everything else and sponsor commitments. But when we get a chance, we love to go watch that other stuff. It's really great.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. And we have a lot of footage there from the games on videohorsehelp.com, which is a little site of mine, and it's really cool. So thanks again for having me, and we appreciate it.
All right. Bye, Tom. And, of course, you can find Tom's website also at tmccutcheon.com, and I can never spell McCutcheon, so I will put a link to that in our show notes today at horsesinthemorning.com. Wasn't that fun? He's a cool guy, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, what a fascinating guy, and what a safe answer. One celebrity, you can take my wife. Just leave it at my wife. I love it.
You forgot.
I know, very smart
that
man.
She has won more than him.
I think so. Hey, by the way, our sponsor this half hour, Glenn, daily deworming makes a difference. You can see feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongid C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongid C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com. Of course, we want to take your calls 347-637-3238. We're talking to everybody today about the coolest place you have ever ridden, and we've got a pretty awesome prize just for calling in and talking to us about the coolest place you've ever ridden, a pair of Power Stretch full seat britches from Carrots worth over $100. So that could be yours just calling in to tell us the coolest place you've ever ridden.
And I think we have our next guest up here that we're delighted to be talking to. Do you want to introduce her, Jamie?
I would love to. She is the reigning Miss Rodeo USA because today is Western Day. She's 22 years old, raised on a horse farm in Grady, Alabama, and I'm expecting the accent to be nice and thick. Dakota's no newcomer to the Western way of life. She barely grew out of her helper stirrups before she began competing in junior rodeos. She moved up the ranks through high school, collegiate rodeo. She has a degree in broadcast journalism and public relations from Troy, and she's also started her master's in business. Hello, Dakota. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie and Glenn. I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. So where are you,
Dakota,
in the world right now?
I'm in Henrietta, Oklahoma today, and the next few days I'll be going to the World Show in Oklahoma City to visit with sponsors.
Oh, that sounds good. Is this kind of what you do as Miss Rodeo? You go around and you do appearances, or what is it like to be Miss Rodeo?
I won Miss Rodeo USA in late January during IFR 41 in Oklahoma City. And since January, I've traveled all over the U.S. and parts of Canada promoting the International Professional Rodeo Association, which is based out of Oklahoma City, and the Miss Rodeo USA organization. So between the two different associations, I stay very busy. I travel somewhere different every week, sometimes two or three different places. It's definitely been a learning experience as far as the traveling opportunities, and I've met so many people, but it's a full-time job.
Are you finding time to ride at all?
No, actually, the only time I get to ride this year is when I'm booked at a rodeo. A lot of times I'm honored to carry the American flag or I help with their opening ceremonies, but I don't have my horses with me. I've relocated to Henrietta, Oklahoma for the year, and just to be more centrally located for my travel schedule. And my horses are at home thanks to my mom and my brothers. They've been taking care of those for me, but it doesn't allow you to compete while you're Miss Rodeo USA.
You know, Dakota, I had the pleasure of meeting you at the World Equestrian Games. You were so much fun. We chatted for a while that day. You meet so many people, I'm sure you don't remember, but it was fun to meet you in person, and I said, I just got to get her on the show sometime. They keep you busier than Miss America, it sounds like.
Well, I'm sure that my schedule and Miss America's are pretty similar in the fact that you just go where you're invited and you try to go and see as many people as you can, not only rodeo-related, but, you know, the whole purpose of having a spokesperson for any sport or anything of that matter is to bring new people into it, and that's my job as Miss Rodeo USA, not only to be the contestant's voice to the public and to visit with people that already know about rodeo and the equine industry, but really branch out there and bring newcomers to our way of life. And I do remember you, Glenn. I enjoyed meeting you that day as well.
Well, he enjoyed it, too.
Yes, I have a picture of us up on our Facebook page together. I'm hanging it up there proudly. You know, and you're not just the prettiest Miss Rodeo that ever existed in the history of Miss Rodeo. You are a rider. You've ridden since you were knee-high to grasshopper, and we want to know, not being totally familiar with all the Western sports, what is breakaway roping?
Breakaway roping is the cowgirl's version of the calf roping. You'll see the calf roping at many of the professional rodeos, and in the breakaway roping, typically this starts in junior rodeo and goes up through the ranks of high school and collegiate. It's for the cowgirls to compete in. And the difference is that whenever the cowgirls rope their calf, their rope is tied to the saddle horn with a piece of cotton or nylon string. And once the calf is roped, the rope breaks away from the saddle horn. And that's hence where the name comes from, breakaway roping. So we don't actually get off and tie the calves. Our time starts whenever the barrier breaks off the calf's neck in the chute, and then our time stops when the judge flags us when the rope breaks away from the saddle horn. And a good time in the breakaway roping is somewhere between 2 to 4 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So you really have to know how to use that lasso of yours.
Yes, sir, definitely. It takes a lot of practice, and that's one thing going to college. We got to talk about that briefly when I met you at the World Games. That Murray State, Kentucky has a great college rodeo program there with J.D. Van Hooser as their coach. But breakaway roping is really popular in that area. Lots of people can go on and get some financial support to go to college if they choose to compete in the collegiate rodeo. And I haven't gotten to compete that much in the breakaway roping since I graduated last year. But I'm really looking forward to a new addition in the IPRA Association. We're going to have the breakaway roping as an official championship event at the IFR in 2012. And this is a really new big deal, so I'm just trying to get the word out. I'm really excited about this.
And you have, of course, you know, for the non-Western people in the audience, in the beginning of December is like the World Series for rodeo in Las Vegas, right?
That's exactly right. I'll actually get to be part of the NFR in Vegas this year. I won't go out there with my Miss Rodeo USA crown. There's two different associations. There's PRCA and the PRCA, that's their finals there in Las Vegas. And then there's IPRA, which I represent, and we have our finals in January in Oklahoma City. So Miss Rodeo America will be in charge of the rodeo in Vegas, but I'm excited. I'll be there anyway. I get to carry sponsor flags at the rodeo and work at Cowboy Christmas, so it's definitely something everybody should at least watch at home on TV if they don't have the opportunity to go.
Well, that sounds like fun, and I've never been to that and always wanted to. One of these days.
Yeah, we're talking with Dakota Misseldine. She is Miss Rodeo USA, and I have a question for you, Dakota. One of the topics, the topic of the day is we're asking people to call in and tell us the favorite ride, their favorite ride they've ever been on. You know, we've had people call in, I mean, and talk about competitions, talk about trail riding, talk about riding in parades. What is your favorite ride ever?
Wow, that's a big question. I'd probably have to say my favorite ride so far is Miss Rodeo USA. One of the neatest experiences I've had is I was able to travel to Saint-Tite, Canada in September. And I'd never been to Canada, and just the production that they put on up there, it's huge. I can't even put it into words, but I was introduced each night of the rodeo, and I was able to carry the American flag during the final performance. And that was very special for me to be in a totally different place and have the honor of representing, you know, our red, white, and blue colors. That was very special. And as far as my favorite memory ever, I remember when I was little, I was on a trail ride with my mom, and I couldn't have even been in kindergarten yet, but we had been learning about ducks that week, and she told me, duck, so I start looking for a duck. Well, she meant to duck because she was holding a tree limb, so I got smacked in the face. But that's probably my favorite childhood memory of going up trail riding.
That's the first. We've never had anybody who got smacked in the face being that their favorite memory.
Well, it's just a good story. I definitely learned there's more than one meaning to each word. So.
That's true.
Absolutely. Well, Dakota, we really appreciate you being a part of Horses in the Morning, and we wish you the best of luck in the next upcoming year of being Miss Rodeo USA, and thanks for being a part of the show.
Well, thank you, Jamie and Glenn, and I just want to remind everybody that to get tickets to the IFR the 14th through the 16th of January, you can log on to IPRARodeo.com, and they have sweepstakes going on until December 20th.
Fantastic. We'll put that up on our website as well.
Okay, thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you, Dakota.
All right. Bye, Dakota. What a sweetheart, absolutely. Well, you know, it's so impressive because the past couple of days, Glenn, we've talked to some really young people. I mean, she's 22. We had a caller on yesterday. It was 17. And it just kind of gives you hope for the future because these people are so well-spoken. These young ladies have been so intelligent and, you know, involved in their futures and really taking, taking charge. That it's really impressive to see people that young. It makes me look forward to the future.
And what, you know, we've had that on the shows throughout the past 2 years. Some of the neatest guests we've had have been the up and coming young riders because they are so excited. They're so passionate about what they're doing because they're living
right.
It, you know, 80 hours a day, every day. And they're still very excited about what they're doing. And it really comes across when you talk to the young riders.
Absolutely. We have a caller. Susan is on the phone right now, and she wants to talk about the coolest place she's ever ridden. Susan, where are you calling from? You're on the air.
I'm calling from West Tennessee in the Memphis area. And
all right.
I was going to say Grand Tetons because I took a trail ride there many, many years ago, a pack trip, and it was very, very exciting, but I wasn't a real rider then, and I was really sore at the end of it. And then I thought, well, back when I had a Morgan mare, I rode in the Fiesta de los Vaqueros parade in Tucson, and we had a similar experience as the lady did with the howitzers, only it was with a marching band.
Oh,
but,
no.
But I think, as I thought about it, really, I think my most enjoyable rides are with the horse I have now. I'm trying to work on him to be a trail horse and be not spooky and to learn to trust me. And each day, you know, each time that I ride him, I go further and further out into the hay field or down the trail or past the cows. And, you know, each time that he ignores them and listens to me, I think it's just really satisfying. But I wanted to talk about my bucket ride, which is going to be, I've already decided I'm going to France in 2014 for the WEG. And I plan to spend a month there in the area in Paris and probably in Normandy and find a place where I can ride at least for probably a week out in the French countryside. So I'm really excited. I really am looking forward to that.
I see,
that
you know, in her, she's going to France. She's going to ride in the countryside. You know what's going to be in that little flask on the saddle, don't you?
Absolutely, Calvados.
You know, you mentioned the Grand Tetons, which, of course, I think are out in Utah, if I remember correctly.
They're in Wyoming.
And they're huge
Wyoming.
In Wyoming.
Did you ride deep into the mountains?
Absolutely. Took a pack trip on Western horse, Western riding. I don't ride Western anymore, but we went in a guided tour with several other people, and we camped out in tents and in bear country and saw moose, and it was cold in the summertime because we were way up in the mountains.
It's so beautiful there.
It is incredible.
You're just at the base of the Yellowstones, where the Yellowstone Park kind of dumps out into the Teton National Park. And like I said, I got to ride there, too. And it is just so picturesque. You cannot even – they said, like the biggest compliment I could give it is everywhere you look is a screensaver.
Oh, it's incredible. It's so like there's nobody really up there but animals and a few cowboys, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your call, Susan. We really appreciate it, and thanks for listening. Let's see, Lisa's on the phone. Lisa, what is the coolest place you've ever ridden?
Hey, Jamie.
Hey.
Definitely the Biltmore Estate.
Really?
In Asheville, North Carolina. I ride endurance horses, and I was fortunate enough to actually win the 2,800-mile Biltmore Endurance Ride. And did the course
did
in 10 hours
Biltmore
and 2 minutes.
Ride?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my gosh, I got to go to that.
Yes, you do. It's really nice. And, you know, I was thinking of it the other day when you were talking about food. They have a really nice catered buffet, but but it's absolutely gorgeous because it's the lawns are manicured and the trails. You know, you're riding on old carriage trails, and it's just absolutely gorgeous.
And congratulations on winning. How
oh,
far is that?
It was a 100-miler.
Oh, my God. You women you guys are tough.
I didn't feel very tough the next day, but, you know, it always hurts a lot less. Yeah, it always hurts a lot less when you win.
Yeah.
Did the winner get to sleep in the house that night?
No, you know what? I go to the Biltmore almost every year, and I've never actually been in the house. I never have time because there's vetting in and training and you know, and I have a full-time job, you know, to pay the bills. So I'm always trying to work these trips in, you know, take one day off of work, try to make it 3-day weekend. And I've never got to actually go in the house. but it's
that's
very
picturesque.
Right by the finish line, they have this huge field where you run in. And in the background, you can see the mansion. And so it's pretty cool to be able to see that in the background. And there's Jeannie Stewart Spears does a lot of the photography for us at the rides, and she has some really neat pictures of riders galloping, and in the background you can see the mansion, so it's pretty neat.
We should tell everybody that the Biltmore Estate is a huge, huge, one of the old mansions from the early 1900s, and it's absolutely beautiful, worth seeing. You know, Lisa, we've been there a number of times, and we were staying with friends in North Carolina over New Year's one year, and we decided that we'd go up to the Biltmore on New Year's Eve. And
oh, wow.
It was icy the whole way up, and you know what the roads are like getting up to Asheville. It was icy the whole way up, but when we got into the Biltmore, it was like something out of a storybook with the ice and the snow, and we ate in the stables because that's where they have the restaurant, is in the old stables. it was one of the most beautiful nights that you've ever seen. And they really decked the Biltmore out for Christmas time. There must be a thousand Christmas trees in there. It's just worth seeing. I had recommended anybody, if you've never been to the Biltmore, you need to go. Jennifer rode there, but not 100 miles. She went on the trail ride there.
No, I went on the very gentle trail ride, but that doesn't change the gloriousness of the scenery. It's just jaw-dropping.
You know, speaking of the gentle trail ride, on my last loop coming into the finish line, I only had a couple miles left, and there was a group of trail riders, and they saw me coming, and they looked terrified. They're like, oh, my God, this lady's out of control, you know? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. It's okay. You know, you always try to slow down to go past the trail riders, but they were horrified.
Oh, I'm sure you probably came flying in. Lisa, we really appreciate you calling in. Of course, you know, everybody that calls in is qualified to win a prize. Today it's going to be a pair of Power Stretch full seat breeches from Carrots, worth over $110 just for calling in like Lisa did and telling her story. Of course, our phone number is 347-637-3238. Thanks so much, Lisa, and thanks for listening, and call again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, bye-bye. Well, now we got to take a look at the news. Of course, you know, Chris taking care of the news for us. So let's hear it.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. The International Equestrian Federation celebrated its annual awards during the General Assembly in Taipei last week, with the Ream Acra Best Athlete Award going to Dutch dressage rider Edward Gahl and his world champion partner, Morlens Tottilus. Taking home an unprecedented 3 gold medals from the Altec FEI World Equestrian Games, Edward broke all records in scores from the judges' panel, including 10s for his riding. But he was quick to give credit to his horse, who was sold after the games to German breeder Paul Schockemuller. The HSBC Rising Star Award went to American dressage rider Caroline Rothman. The 21-year-old, who trains with Olympian Lars Peterson, won the 5-year-old championships at the U.S. Equestrian Federation's National Dressage Championships this year on a horse she trained herself and was the youngest competitor at the Collecting Gates Farm USEF Festival of Champions at Gladstone. You can hear Caroline's story on next week's Dressage Radio show. Madeline Pickens, one of the nation's most active horse advocates, was awarded the Humane Society of the United States prestigious Horsewoman of the Year Award at the 3rd Annual Sound Horse Conference in Louisville, Kentucky. The HSUS Award is presented annually to a horseman or woman who is committed to improving the welfare of America's horses. At a time when there was much friction and mistrust involving the Bureau of Land Management in Washington over the wild horse issue, Madeline Pickens came forward and offered a solution: a sanctuary that would guarantee a safe haven for wild horses. When the BLM, together with Washington politicians, said it couldn't be done, she persisted and showed them how her plan could work. This year's Sound Horse Conference focused on new efforts to enforce the Horse Protection Act and protect Tennessee walking horses from the abuse of soaring. Canadian rider Eric Lamaze and John Fleischhacker, joint owners of the 14-year-old bay stallion Hickstead, have been awarded the prestigious title of Owner of the Year for the second year running by the Jumping Owners Club. Hickstead and Eric Lamaze continued their superb form to maintain their position as the most successful horse and rider combination in 2009. The award was presented to Eric Lamaze during the 2010 Altec FEI World Equestrian Games. The FEI Owner of the Year Award was created in 2004 to recognize the most successful owner of each year in show jumping. To determine the winner, a classification is established for all horse and rider combinations based on points obtained for the Rolex rankings during the calendar year. The International Equestrian Federation has announced that all urine samples taken from athletes competing at the Altec FEI World Equestrian Games have tested negative for prohibited substances. This announcement comes after the FEI revealed that all equine blood and urine samples were also free of prohibited substances. A total of 24 human athletes were tested during the 16 days of the games, with urine samples taken from 3 athletes in each of the 8 disciplines. FEI President Her Royal Highness Princess Haya commented, "Clean sport is one of the FEI's major goals, and it is wonderful news that all tests on our human and equine athletes were negative. The FEI Clean Sport campaign is all-inclusive and covers every aspect of our sport. With everyone on side, we really can move forward in the drive for fair play and a level playing field for all. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
This is Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Jamie Jennings and my lovely wife, Jennifer, who's producing today. And we have a conversation going all about where is the coolest place that you've ever ridden. We want you to give us a call at 347-637-3238. Tell us about the coolest place you've ever ridden. Have a chance to win those Carrots Power Stretch breeches at a $110 value. One of the callers today will be selected for that. Of course, we'll post that on Facebook after the show. So give us a call now. We have some lines open, and we would love to talk to you about that. You know, this half hour is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Now, protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations, with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and other Innovator family vaccines. I got through it, Jamie. I got through it, and I didn't mess up any of the words.
I am so proud of you, Glenn. That was fantastic. Equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus. Big words, but, you know, unbelievably important. So even here
that
in the desert, we have to give the West Nile.
Well, that shows you what a radio professional I am right there.
Oh, yes.
Just that this commercial just proves it.
Yeah, when I think of professional radio broadcasters, I think of us.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody else does, too. You know,
yeah,
Robert Dunn posted on our Facebook page about his favorite ride, and I'd like to read that to everybody. And, of course, Robert called in yesterday, I believe. He's one of our listeners to all the shows. He says, I'll be working, so I won't be able to call in, but the coolest place I have ridden the horse was down into the crater of the Haleakala, I forgive the pronunciation, a volcano in Maui. It was like riding a horse on another planet. You know, that's one of the things I've always wanted to do. That's on my list, too, is to ride in Hawaii. That sounds so cool. That sounds
really
like a lot of fun. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you type in now. Where are some of the coolest places that you've ridden?
Well, the other planet brought to mind, it wasn't a particular ride, but a particular place I rode a lot. Up there in Massachusetts, in South Hamilton, where we lived for a while, there's Bradley Palmer State Park. Well, that doesn't sound very exciting, but if you're not familiar with the territory up there, it's right along the coast of Massachusetts, and it's a lot of low-lying ground, salt marshes, bogs, and the like. And certain parts of the parks that we rode in, Bradley Palmer being one of them, and we rode in a lot, were otherworldly. It was like riding through, and I remember getting goosebumps the first time I did it when we moved up there. It's like riding through a movie set for Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
Just these ginormous old growth forests, and they're low ground, so it's very damp, and there's moss everywhere, and the sun pokes through the canopy up top. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. Just the immediate surroundings and the scent of the air as you ride through there, and they're public trails, so everybody's riding in them. Was just amazing, and it never went away. Every time you rode through, it was cool all over again. So that's one of the biggies of just the fact that I got to ride there almost every day, and it's just an unworldly atmosphere because it's like riding into a new world when you cross across the little gate and into these trees because it's all old growth. Pretty amazing. I have to say that was it? Lisa, when Lisa called in, she stole one of my favorite places because I got to go on that trail ride at Biltmore State. And, again, it was all about the scenery. And we had a really cool guide because he was pointing out where they filmed a movie on the estate, and some of the sets were still there, and that was kind of nifty. Just knowing the history behind Biltmore, because we had visited there before, that was pretty awesome. So those are probably my two top ones. And I'm sure they would have been different 25 years ago, but they were tops just because I get goosebumps just remembering the feeling riding into that park and going, whoa, we're in a new world here. And I suspect for Robert, it was very similar. You go into a volcano. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, we're taking everybody's call on the coolest places you've ever ridden. 347-637-3238. And since it's kind of been such a horse racing themed weekend, you know, with Zenyatta on Saturday, and then I went and saw Secretariat again on Sunday, it reminds me of, you know, if you are in Lexington, I highly recommend going to Caneland in the morning, because the first time that I got to, you know, I galloped racehorses there, and a lot of times they kept me on the training track because I would ride the two-year-olds and the youngsters because that's all I could control. But the first couple times that you take those youngsters up to the big track, it was pre-dawn. It was pitch dark. I'd never been on the track before, and I go up there with a two-year-old. I still remember his name. His name was Lysander, and I take him up to the track, and to be able to gallop on Keeneland race course pre-dawn, you know, all you hear is the sound of the horses breathing just as they're going around. It was so unbelievably thrilling. So 347-637-3238. We want to hear from you. You can win that pair of Carrots full seat power stretch riding breeches from Carrots worth over $110. So be a part of the show.
Does otherworldly, does that suffice to explain that feeling when you get out to the track before the sun's up? I don't know if that does it.
It's surreal. It's just, first of all, you can't believe that you're doing it. And there's an adrenaline that pumps when you're about to get on a two-year-old and take it to a track, because you never know how safe that's going to be.
Yeah.
But
how
I was
safe?
19. I didn't care. I was like, whatever, I can do anything. I'm 18, 19 years old. And I'm fearless, so, but there is that adrenaline that pumps, you know, when you're out there and you're sitting on the fastest thing. I mean, stick your head out of a car window at 40 miles an hour, and that's what that feels like. It's like, woo, you're going so fast.
Yeah, and depending upon which two-year-old it is, somebody else is driving the car.
Yeah.
he can make that conscious choice. Well, when she says turn left, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Well, yeah, it's you know, you start out on the rail, and then you're on the outside rail, and then you're galloping on the inside rail. It's like in Seabiscuit, you know, when they're galloping him, and he's going right, left, right, left, right, left. That's kind of what it's like on a young two-year-old at the racetrack, especially their first time on a big track.
Kudos to you. I never had any desire, even when I was a young crazy pup, to ride a two-year-old at 35 or 40 miles an hour. Just couldn't go there.
You know, it takes a special kind of stupid to do something like that. And I guess I qualified at that point. But you know what? You couldn't pay me to get on a two-year-old and gallop it now. So
more power,
I mean, you know,
to you, honey.
Dude, I was 19 and I got $10 a ride. And you could ride like two horses to three horses an hour. When you're 18, that is huge money. Yeah, and you forget about your insurance payments that you're making, because they clearly don't know that you're a galloping racehorse.
No, that's top secret.
Definitely.
Well,
Glenn,
Jamie, let me ask you this. Let's switch it around a little bit. Where is a place that you would? What's your ultimate that you would like to do? What's your bucket list ride? If you had one ride you could do anywhere in the world on your bucket list, and that was the last ride you're going to have, what would it be?
I want to go to Ireland and ride so bad. You know, they have those trips where you can go just across the country, and the history and the castles and everything you can ride past, that I think the Irish understand how special the scenery is and how beautiful it is, but it's just something that I've never laid my eyes on. And to go to Ireland, sit on a really nice horse and traverse the country would just be the thrill of a lifetime for me. That's definitely my bucket list ride. What about you?
Yeah, well, You just want to do it because you actually want to do the pub ride where they ride from pub to pub to pub for over a week.
You know, I wouldn't complain about that. You're not supposed to tell people that, Glenn. I was trying to be romantic, and now you just brought up the fact that, yes, I just want to drink Guinness and ride horses. Thanks.
I think mine, of course, involves driving. I want to one day ride in the shotgun seat on the Budweiser Clydesdales in the Rose Bowl parade.
Oh, ooh. My gosh.
That's mine. I don't care to even drive because that's like a lot of horses and Lorraine's and stuff. I just want to sit in the shotgun seat, kick the dog out. I want to sit there in the Rose Bowl parade. So I'm here. You know, we can put what's his name in the back, and he can go back with the barrel. But that's where I want to be. I want to be in the shotgun.
Wow.
That's mine.
There you go.
Jennifer?
Oh, man, now you're going to put me on the spot. Sorry, I hit the mute button. Didn't hear you. Oh, wow, bucket list ride. Gosh, I think it's going to have to be one of the state parks out west. I'm not sure which one. But I would want to do the state park thing out there and out in west where it's just wide open plains. And, yeah, I would do that.
Well,
I'm all about
I think we're going to have the opportunity. We'll have the opportunity to do that someday, I think. I don't think I'm ever going to get my ride on the – I think that's going to be a little hard to do. But I'm sure we're going to have the opportunity to ride in the Grand Teton.
Should we have a writing campaign on your behalf, Glenn? Get all of our listeners to write to the Budweiser folks and say, let Glenn ride in the wagon.
Well, you know, we told them. We were out of Finland. Yeah. I'm kind of saying the Rose Bowl parade.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to tell everybody that we did see the Budweiser Clydesdales here last weekend. We went out to breakfast at Keeneland and watched your predecessor, or the people who came after you, Jamie, riding around the track in the morning, and it was neat. And the Clydesdales were there to put on an exhibition, so we got to see them out being walked. The guy, and I put pictures up on Facebook, the guy walks four at a time. He walks four of those Clydesdales at a time to take him out for a walk.
Oh, my gosh,
we
no
saw him
way.
From the, well, I know. And you know, he's a little tiny guy in the midst of these Clydesdales, and Jennifer looks at him from the back and goes, is there one guy walking four of them? And they were. They just and they walk in formation. I mean, they walk in line here. It was like they were in the hitch. It was a cool sight, actually, to see that morning. I wanted to mention and put a little plug in for the Stable Scoop show that came out last week. It's episode number 116 that Helena and I did. We actually talked about something called the Dream Horse Project. It's a neat project that's being done. Thin Line Global, a company that makes saddle pads and boots and things, is working with some Native Americans. Actually, they preferred to be called American Indians. Is working with some American Indians out of a tribe in the Dakotas, the Lakota tribe, and they're working with them to put them back to work. They have an unemployment rate of 80% on the reservation, and what they're getting them to do is they're putting them to work to do some of the art that they have been taught for generations past, and they're actually taking that art and then selling it. It's all horse-related. It's some really cool stuff, halters that have been completely made from hand and woven. It's just really neat stuff. And so I encourage everybody to take a listen. It's important that we don't forget that there are groups of Americans that are living in the United States that have it much worse than the rest of us. And this is not an unusual thing in this reservation of having an unemployment rate of 80%. You know, their kids ride their ponies to school. And one of their goals with the money they make is to put up a shelter for the ponies so that they have a place to tie the ponies and out of the weather during school days. So, and that's from elementary school on. So how cool is that? So tune in to Stable episode number 116 by Omega Alpha. We appreciate them coming on with us and telling the story. It was actually kind of a serious topic for us on the Stable Scoop show. Well, Jamie, I think that's about it today. I think that we've about covered it all. I wanted to make a quick mention for those that know her, that Georgina Bloomberg, who is the very popular jumper rider and the daughter of the mayor of New York City, and who also happens to be Bloomberg, the millionaire or billionaire. She was hurt in a costume class on Friday night in New York. She was dressed up as a witch for the high-speed gambler's choice event, and she fell off. Her saddle came loose, and she slid off as the horse was approaching a jump. She was hurt, but she says she's fine. She was actually knocked out, was unconscious for a while, but did get up and walk out. She had a small concussion and a little fracture of her vertebrae. And
how
you're
can
saying,
you have
a little fracture of a vertebrae? I know, but she broke her back before, so this is minor. She's broken her back.
We wish her the best and a speedy recovery for sure. That's Georgina Bloomberg. And make sure you guys listen to all the Horse Radio Network shows at horseradionetwork.com. You can follow us on Facebook. We post stuff all the time, ridiculous pictures. You can see my blind horse dressed up as a pirate for Halloween. You can see Glenn sitting on the ball or him with our guests today. You can also find out if you won your today's pair of Carrot's Power Stretch Full Seat Breeches. Carrots.com if you want to check that out. We're also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you missed the live show, of course, you can still listen to the recorded version on our website, our affiliate websites, or iTunes. You never need to miss an episode, and a lot of people are listening to the recorded versions that are busy actually working while we're on. And we'll be back Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Central with Baker's Blogspot and the Horse Health Report and more calls from the best listeners in the horse world here at Horses in the Morning.
Glenn.
Say goodbye, Jamie. Yeah.
Hey, Glenn, it's 9 a.m. Eastern, not Central.
Oh, did I say?
Yes, you did.
Oh, it is 9 a.m. Did I say Central?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. That's okay.
Sorry.
We all knew.
Okay,
we all knew.
Oh, stop. Let's stop. We will be back Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern.
There you go. That works.
Say goodbye, Jamie.
I will. Have a safe ride and enjoy.